belongs to pop, not soda.
It's pop. Like this. Pop.
Welcome to Pop, Not Soda. And now it's time for Brian, and... Oh, damn. Enjoy the show!
So I want to know how many shots of Jack Daniels were taken at this tailgate.
Oh, we did not have Jack Daniels.
What?
We had the classy antifreeze liquor called Fireball.
Oh, okay. Jim Beam.
And the plastic bottle.
Jim Beam.
No Jim Beam.
What?
We just had PBRs and Fireball.
Okay. Yeah. So Dan was at a country concert over the weekend, and we're trying to figure out what happened at this tailgate party.
Can I just tell you
it sounded pretty epic.
The amount of people not wearing shirts at a country tailgate really, I don't understand. Like, guys get there right away, and they're all dressed up, and then they take their shirts off, but they keep their hats on.
And okay. What I'm picturing is jeans and boots.
Jeans, boots, no shirt.
With a flannel shirt that is immediately removed.
Usually there's a wife beater that they also take off.
Oh, yeah. Of course there is.
And I don't understand, because it's like 4:30 in the afternoon, and it's windy
and it's
dusty.
And it's not that hot, right.
And it's not that hot.
Which concert was this?
This was
Paisley?
Brad Paisley.
Okay, so we're brinking on not so much country, it's more pop country, right?
I guess. I mean, I'm not a country fan, I just went because my friends were going.
So there was a bunch of dudes taking their shirts off. Huh?
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't get it. And...
But you love the experience.
Yeah.
So,
I will say people are, for the most part,
a lot of shirtless dudes.
A lot of shirtless dudes, but there's also a lot of just like skimpy women.
Oh.
Skimpy women.
Yes. Okay.
Not dress scantily clad.
Every time I've been to a country concert, it's been flannels, shorts, and like UGG boots or cowboy boots.
Yeah, like cowboy boots.
Yeah. Which is a cute outfit or whatever, but it's definitely... I mean,
there were some girls that we saw that purposely had like holy shorts just so they could show off the underwear they were wearing off. Underneath.
Oh, I was thinking they had like a cross on them or something.
No,
so not that holy.
Not like religious.
Oh, okay.
Well, welcome, guys. Pop Not Soda, episode number 16. Thank you for joining us today. We are recording on a Sunday. It's a very nice, beautiful Sunday.
Yes.
So this is...
No Shomer Shabbos for us.
Yeah.
We're rolling.
Yeah, you're getting this Sitz Pack of Pop Culture is pretty fresh.
Ooh.
Super fresh.
Dropping it on.
Yeah, I think we're going to talk some nice guys today.
Brian's got that review coming up.
We're going to talk...
Not necessarily about us, but about the...
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think anyone's ever called you nice.
Just your mom.
See? That's what I mean.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Brett.
We're going to talk about the fall TV lineups and the newly announced shows.
Yeah.
And shows. I think we're going to go into, you know, maybe Mark Cuban running for vice president. But the first question I have for you guys today... is what is up with this Chewbacca lady video? I don't get it. I don't get it.
I haven't seen it yet. What is it, Brian?
Oh, you haven't seen it yet. So it's this woman. I want to say Midwest.
She's a mom, yeah.
Midwest somewhere?
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. She, mother of, I don't know, a couple kids at least that she talks about in the movie. She had just gone to Kohl's to return some items, saw this specific item and could not pass it up. Essentially, it's a plastic Star Wars mask. The character is Chewbacca. But the thing actually, it looks pretty legit. And you put it on, and then when you open your mouth, it makes the Chewbacca
the roar.
Oh, I've seen that.
You have seen that video.
No, my cousin's son has that.
Oh, you've seen the mask.
Yeah, the mask itself, not the video. Sorry.
So she just loses her shit when she puts the mask on, and it's just like
grown woman.
She keeps laughing, and the mask keeps roaring, and it makes her laugh more.
Right.
And it's
just
a solid
like pissing
minute,
her pants, right? And then that's it. And posted on Facebook, you know, a handful of days ago, and it's about like 80 million views, which is like the most
ridiculous
ever on Facebook.
God. Kohl's representatives went to her house and surprised her and gave her like free
Star Wars shit.
Yeah, free Star Wars shit, like everything. Because like Kohl's is going to reap the benefits of this.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. She drops Kohl's name like
they made a very classy move of going out of their way to like find her and like, you know.
Is there any chance that this was like a paid thing?
I don't think
so. No.
Okay.
And I guarantee you that mask is sold out like
everywhere.
Right. In the next month.
To moms or to kids? Has it changed? Is it the popular mom toy now?
No, I just think it's the combination
of... I don't want to know about popular mom toys.
That make them scream weird noises. I think it's going to gain popularity because, you know, people are just weird and they like things that just go viral. So
yeah. I mean, the mask does look fun, but I just didn't get why this, like, because I was out of town for 2 days and not on social media, and I come back and I'm like looking through my feeds and everything, and it's just like Chewbacca lady, Chewbacca lady, Chewbacca lady, and I didn't get it. Yeah. I didn't understand like why. Like, I watched it and I kind of was like, that's nice.
So what's the easiest way to find this video? Chewbacca lady Coles?
Not even
YouTube.
Type in Chewbacca.
Yeah, just type in Chewbacca,
and it's probably going to be top three hits.
Oh wow. Okay, so it's that big.
Yes, it's that. Well, it's the most watched video on Facebook ever.
Yeah, Facebook's most watched video because it was posted. It was a Facebook Live video.
Yeah.
So she streamed it live, and it's now their most popular live video hit.
Yes. What's she doing streaming live shopping in Kohl's? Or was it upon the discovery of this Chewbacca basket?
It was in her car. Like, she just bought it.
She literally, yes, yeah.
Okay.
So sorry.
The weirdest thing is she laughs and her eyes are open the whole time staring at the camera.
It's pretty creepy.
Oh, so they're real.
In a Chewbacca mask.
There's human eyes behind it too. Oh, that's kind of weird.
But she's like cracking up. And I it's a nice video. I don't quite think that it should be as popular as it is.
I know. I don't get it either.
Are all the donations to this video going to Wounded Wookiees? That's what I want to know. I think I just killed this entire episode. And on to the next. On to the next subject. You guys are paying me extra for that. You guys are paying me extra for that. I hope you know.
Pretty good one there. I don't even. Yeah.
All right. So, speaking of middle-aged to older women that have no need to be on the internet, Hillary Clinton is in talks that Mark Cuban was thought to be her vice presidential running mate. And I'm trying.
Mark Cuban, the Shark Tank, Mark Cuban.
Yeah. The Dallas Mavericks.
Shark Tank Mark Cuban. That's how you. That's how you
your
reference. Him.
Hey, I'm a Hulu Plus subscriber. Hey, that thing is all over.
Yes, Hulu Plus, $7.99 for a monthly subscription.
Yes, exactly.
Why are you plugging them?
They're not
paying us anything.
Oh, I'm not paying them. I'm a subscriber of a streaming service.
If the Chewbacca lady can get free stuff from Kohl's just for mentioning it, if we mention Hulu, maybe we get free Hulu.
That's what I'm saying, man. True. Hey, at least upgrade
Hulu,
me to
Amazon, Netflix. You guys are the best. Give us some free shit.
And Mark Cuban, if you want to sponsor this podcast, let us know.
Yeah.
But so that got me thinking, one, it would be awesome for Mark Cuban.
What's her reasoning behind this, by the way?
Is
he a good businessman? Is he like, is
I
that
think
what
like
she was
the
trying
anti
to
anti-Donald Trump.
Because nobody wants to run with her.
That too. Yeah, probably.
That's not.
No, dude, I think Bill should be her vice president.
Bill Clinton.
That would be hilarious. Yeah.
I wonder what the law is. I guarantee you a former president can't run for vice president.
With that, what other celebrities would you want to see in the Oval Office as president or vice president?
Mm-hmm.
Well, are we talking... Okay, now, are we going to call Mark Cuban a celebrity?
He's a celebrity.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, so he's a celebrity. So,
I mean, you referenced Shark Tank. It was the first number one thing that you referenced.
And that is true. He's a celebrity.
Reality
in my
star.
Mind. Yeah, yeah. Self-made millionaire. Maybe billionaire.
No, he's billionaire.
He's a billionaire.
Yeah, well, that's what they say on Shark Tank, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, quote, unquote. Sorry. So.
Never seen the program, so.
So who would we like to see as vice presidential candidates, though? If we could see celebrities or whatever, by no means, it's no more ridiculous than the candidates that are up on place right now. So who would we like to see as a vice president candidate? Are we going, I guess, let's go Trump first. Who would we like to see get paired up with Trump?
Oh, God.
An executioner?
Yeah. Me? I'll tell you, Tyrone Biggums.
Tyrone?
Chappelle Show. Tyrone Biggums. If you haven't seen him, look him up. I think he would be a great vice presidential candidate for Donald Trump.
I think Samuel Jackson could play well off of him.
Oh, okay.
Because they could both just like yell, you know?
He's not yelling. That's just how his voice sounds.
Well, that's what Donald Trump says too, you know? So they could just both have loud, obnoxious voices to, you know, to really get their message across.
Could we just have Samuel L. Jackson from Pulp Fiction, though?
Ooh.
Like Jules Verne?
Before or after?
Ooh.
The
religious.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess it would have to be after, right?
Yeah. But you can't bring religion into politics, though. It'd have to be before. Before Jules, I'd say. I'd go with before Jules. That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bad motherfucker wallet and all.
You know, staying with that, what about Mel Gibson's Braveheart?
Ooh, okay. William Wallace?
Yeah.
Are we talking William Wallace or are we talking Mel Gibson's Braveheart?
We're talking about Mel Gibson from Braveheart. Like, as he's acting the character. I don't want actually William Wallace. I want Mel Gibson from Braveheart.
Okay. Yeah. So if I'm following correctly, you want Mel Gibson always in character as William Wallace from Braveheart.
Yes.
Okay.
Can he only handle foreign policy?
Yeah, that's it.
That would be the best.
What about you, Brad? Who you want to see in that seat?
Well, I would say Tyrone Biggums first. Okay. On top of that, you know, Rosie O'Donnell.
Dude, I don't know why, but I thought about Rosie O'Donnell too.
Put Rosie with Trump. Let's see what happens with that.
They would kill each other. And I would put my money on Rosie.
And we'd have to reset the entire election, and everybody'd win at that point. So, how about Hillary though? Let's roll the Hillary.
Hill dog.
Monica Lewinsky. That's who I'm going with.
So if she lost, would she blame Monica and say she blew this one?
Oh, wow, man, you guys are just throwing some haymakers today. I think Snoop Dogg could be a great running mate.
Snoop Dogg, Snoop Lion, Snoopadelic.
All of the above.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would he have a new title if he was in office?
Oh, absolutely.
Vizzle Pizzle.
Vizzle Pizzle.
Snoop D-O-W. I can't even say it.
Snoop.
Snoop Doggy.
D-O-B-P?
President?
I don't know.
Snoop Doggy president?
Yeah. I think that would command respect if you were in a meeting with other foreign...
I feel like
it would
make peace meetings go really, really smoothly.
Yeah.
Because he would just get everyone super high.
This is a weed reference, but I would say Commander in Keef.
Maybe.
Oh. How about that?
Oh.
Throwing that out there? Just came up with that one on the spot.
Wow. Just clicking on all cylinders.
I feel like he would spend too many resources on creating his own new strands of weed. However,
okay. How about this though? Let's go to the man that's been shaking everybody up right now, Bernie Sanders.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Ted Cruz, aka the Zodiac Killer. but Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders.
Are you feeling the burn? Is anyone feeling the burn?
Feeling the burn right now.
Yeah.
# Game of Thrones. What would you say, Brian, if you could put, or either of you guys, Dan, Brian, what would you guys want to see as a vice president for the burn? Bernie Sanders, 2016 candidacy.
Who's his running mate?
Yeah. How about Daniel Tosh?
Ooh.
I mean, they both go after a very specific age group. You know, young generation, and then people who have AARP cards. That's a big Daniel Tosh fan base.
How about you, Dan?
I'd probably say Kevin Hart because, one, I feel like Kevin Hart would make a movie like this, and two, because I need somebody shorter than Bernie Sanders. Like, the vice president can't be taller than the actual president.
Yeah.
I think Joe Biden's taller than Obama, isn't he?
No, he's not.
Yeah. You know, see, you're getting at the taller thing, and that's what's kind of thinking, what I'm thinking about, and this is way, way out there, who I'd like to see as a...
The Big Show.
It's protection.
The Big Show. I'd like to see, this is way out there, Bernie Sanders be Bernie Sanders vice president.
So wait, you mean like Larry David playing
just
Bernie
them,
Sanders?
Yeah, maybe just... that. Maybe that. Oh my God, yes. Holy...
So Bernie Sanders and then Larry David as Bernie Sanders.
Yes. Yes, and they could just like shrug each other the entire time, you know, just give each other dirty looks, you know, when they don't agree with each other. But that would be a great
play with each other's hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Curb your presidency.
It's Bernie. and Bernie.
Oh man, no, Bernie Sanders is tough because I feel like there's just no one that can keep up with him.
Yeah,
his energy, just
yeah. Ooh,
the vibrancy of his
yeah. Tom Cruise, I feel like Tom like Oprah couch Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Okay, just running
just
around.
Just to be able to match his
match his energy.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then, you know, there's the... Yeah.
Bigger question, though, the bigger question is if we have the president as one of these clowns and then we have the vice president as one of these celebrities or whatever, do they get rid of the Kardashians?
I hope that is...
I feel like... Go ahead.
An important pillar of somebody's campaign.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Mel Gibson is William Wallace.
Oh, he would definitely...
with the long sword mm-hmm. is going after the Kardashians.
I mean, if Samuel Jackson came in office, he could just, like, skull fuck him to death.
Say selfie again.
And they'd probably be into it, too.
Oh. No. Okay.
No. After all the jokes that we've done this time, that's the one line. That cues the yeah.
Yeah,
fuck the Kardashians.
I'm going to go break. I need a minute.
Yeah.
I need to compose myself after this segment. Because I feel weird. I feel really weird. Images of Mel Gibson with blue face paint on in a suit next to Donald Trump's orange. And Larry David yelling at Bernie Sanders while pretending to be Bernie Sanders.
We should have a fan art contest of this of this segment. If anybody is interested in drawing some art to this segment, send it in. Yeah, and we will...
Wait, did we only get one suggestion for Hillary? Was it just Monica Lewinsky and we just moved on? Oh, no, we said Snoop, right?
Yeah,
Snoop was up there. Snoop was up there, too. So, but yeah, a good way to end the segment, I think. Favorite. We'll come back. We have Brian's movie review coming up. We also have Fall TV that's coming out. It's around the corner. There's a couple shows that are coming out. A lot of stuff that has to do with movies.
It's all rehashed.
Yeah, rehashed movies. But then also, they put the guillotine on a lot of shows, too. So we'll talk about that, too. And yeah, we'll see you in a few.
Aloha, listeners. Brian here, once again for my weekly movie review, my homeless movie reviews. And this week, I will be talking about the newly released The Nice Guys, starring Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling. How could I? My goodness.
The Goss.
He had me in such a stammer, I couldn't remember his name. Speechless. Directed by Shane Black, who, if you're not familiar with Shane Black, he wrote all of the Lethal Weapon movies. You know, most recently, I think Iron Man 3 was the last movie that that he wrote and directed. He also directed Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which is kind of a sleeper hit. So if you haven't seen Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Robert Downey Jr., Val Kilmer, very good movie. Go check that out. But on to the movie of the week, Nice Guys. It takes place in the 70s. Really interesting story. I won't get into it too much because it's really funny how they introduce it. But bottom line, Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe, both private investigators, they end up being connected to finding a missing person. And then, like, through that connection, this whole story kind of plays out. Rated R. It's definitely more comedy than it is action. So, you know, much like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, if you've seen it, Lethal Weapon, if you've seen it, you know, that same type of scope there where you get a lot of jokes, you know, a lot of entertaining action and just a well-crafted movie. This definitely is right on with, you know, all of those other films. It starts a little slow, you know, needs a little bit to get warmed up. Like, you're not really sure if Ryan Gosling's character is, like, real or not. Like, wait, is he really just, like, a slapdick this whole movie? Like, oh, yeah, okay, he is. Okay, got it. Russell Crowe looked like he ate his former self. He for sure put on like, man, like,
was it for the role or just for Russell?
Yeah, like you, it makes sense in the role, but I just don't think he really is in the mindset to stay in shape these days. But we'll see. He's probably got a couple more movies coming
Travolta out.
Yeah, he for sure did. Yeah, so he's definitely great in it. You know, Ryan Gosling, I think that some people will love his performance and already do. You know, a lot of really good reviews out already about this movie. But me, like, I just didn't really... I appreciated the character, but there were a couple scenes where I just thought it was, like, way over the edge. Just, like, he was really trying too hard to be this character and to, you know, make sure that you realize that he's not like, you know, Superman Ryan Gosling we're used to seeing in other films. But yeah, you know, the movie really well paced, not, you know, a ton of action, a couple fight scenes here and there, but, you know, moves pretty quickly, really entertaining. Definitely has a lot of really funny laugh out loud moments that you might not necessarily expect from a movie like this. And you know, I really don't think a lot of people are going out to catch it. So, you know, I don't think you're going to be competing like, Captain America and, you know,
it's crazy because he directed Iron Man 3 too.
He did direct Iron Man 3. Yeah. Yeah. So he's only directed like a handful of movies. Iron Man 3, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and this. But, you know, wrote a whole bunch of other ones. So he definitely, at least in my opinion, understands the formula to make a really good R-rated movie. Because not only do you, you know, use that in the action scenes, but you can take that to comedy and make like a lot of really funny jokes that you obviously can't touch in a PG-13 setting. So, you know, I really appreciate how he writes and utilizes, you know, the R rating. And it just doesn't make sense to me that like comedy action movies aren't
like R-rated.
Yeah, like all of these movies aren't R-rated. It would just make them so much better, you know. So yeah, so final verdict, you know, great movie. 4 out of 5 quarters for the nice guys.
Damn.
Yeah, you know, really well done. Don't need to rush to go see it in theaters, you know. But if you're waiting around, you know, something to put on your list to see later. But yeah, great movie. And, you know, I did mention Shane Black's background, you know, kind of gained his fame after writing Lethal Weapon. And wouldn't you know, these TV guys are so lazy and out of ideas. Starting to see a lot of TV shows spawned from, you know, old movies. And Lethal Weapon is getting that treatment.
Has been one of them.
Yeah.
So before we go into the fall, the season, because I think that's one of the things on the shelf, right? Coming out this fall.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you guys think is the best Lethal Weapon?
First one. Definitely first one.
Really? The first one?
First one.
Damn. That's a whole lot wrapped in one film. And that's a lot to swallow. Yeah, and you're going to stick to that, Dan?
I like it because it tends to be the darker one. And like the second, like 2 through 4 get a little bit more lighthearted.
Yeah, I definitely get a little campy by number 4.
And is it Nick Nolte or who plays Joshua?
Is it Nick Nolte? Are you thinking of 48 Hours, Dan?
Yeah, I'm thinking of 48 Hours. No, the villain was, what's his face? It's
Gary Busey.
Gary Busey,
yeah.
Wasn't he in 2 or 1?
No, he's in 1.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that the fight scene in the front of the house?
Mel
Gibson and Gary Busey?
Yes. That is the first one.
That's the first one. Yeah.
You know, I'll stretch it out there. I think mine is, my favorite is the 4th. I really, really like the 4th. I've seen all of them, and I've seen them multiple times. But I think my taste and my liking, personally, is the Jet Li. You got Joe Pesci coming back. Joe Pesci was introduced in the 3rd one, and right. I think he was underutilized in the 3rd one. Or he just wasn't written properly, and then you had an aged Joe Pesci in the 4th one, and that made it that much better.
He's definitely my favorite character from number 4. Him and Chris Rock.
Yeah, like, and then and they then pair him.
Their banter, together, too. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, when they pair him together or whatever, I think that is. The second one is just a wipe.
Yeah.
Like, the second one, I think, sucks.
Is the second one the South African, like, diplomats?
Yeah.
That's not too bad. Because I like that one.
Really?
Because of how,
you even
like,
don't sound convincing.
It's my least favorite.
You don't sound convincing. I like even second then, better than
four.
Like
I like second better than four.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, even with Jet Li.
Yeah, because I hate how the fourth one wrapped up.
Forge and Money with, like, the founding fathers.
Like, I hate how that wrapped up. I hate that, like, Jet Li, who they made to be this ultimate badass, gets beat by two old guys. Like, I hate how that movie wraps up.
Oh, man.
Well, they double teamed him and they used their relentless teamwork.
Exactly, man.
To defeat him.
And it opened up with a flame throwing guy at a gas station. Come on.
I didn't say it didn't have good parts. I just said, like, the ending, like, killed the movie.
Not even when he broke his shoulder back into place against the pier.
Right.
Block.
Relocated his shoulder.
Come on. No? Oh, Dan. I got to sell you on it. Okay. We got to rewatch the fourth one. I think the fourth one. How about you, Brian?
Pop Not Soda presents Lethal Weapon 4.
Yeah. We'll rewatch that. I'm going to sell you. I'm gonna freaking sell you on it, Dan. I'll tell you that right now. How about you, Brian?
Yeah. No, I agree with Dan. I think the first one.
Nice. Okay.
I mean, it does have one of the greatest one-liners in action movie history.
Which is?
Your passport's been revoked. Boom! And you're done.
That is a great scene. Shane West. Yeah. Hats off to you, buddy.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to be the series, though? Do you think it'll be...
So I've seen the trailer.
Okay.
It stars... their main, like, lead is Damon Wayans Sr.
Uh-huh.
As Murtaugh. And...
he's not playing Riggs?
Anyway, I was very skeptical. Very skeptical because, Danny Glover is that character to me. And Damon Wayans Sr. does it well because they don't do it, like, he's not as old as...
It's supposed to be modern day,
yeah,
right?
And he's not as old as Danny Glover is supposed to be. Like, he's supposed to be a younger version. Like, and Rids is better. I like the guy that's playing Rids, a lot better than Mel Gibson's Rids. Because really? He's not as short. He's taller. He's, like, he's built, like, more imposing.
But that was what was cool about Riggs was he got in the shit that
get
into.
Though,
like, he was like a dog that just got into stuff that you knew he didn't get into.
Yeah,
shouldn't
Gibson.
Get into. Yeah, and then Danny Glover would come and clean it up.
Yeah, and but the guy playing him he's reckless, but he's not over the top goofy.
So he'll clean up his own shit.
No, he still needs, like, Damon Wayans there, but, like, it looks like they play really well off each other.
Okay.
And still the Riggs character the just wipes. Like it was sold better for me. Like, it just sold better for me. It wasn't as, like... Because Mel Gibson gets a little goofy, a little loony. And I know that was, like, the point, but, like, a little bit, like, almost
one,
over the
yeah.
top. And he, like, reins in a little bit, but he still looks damn reckless.
Did they hit you with a... Riggs!
No, not yet. They're holding back on that, I think.
Or the saxophone?
And they're also
the sax?
They're also holding back on the, I'm getting too old for this stuff. Because, you know, it's network television, right. So there's going to be no shit. Damn it.
No shit. Absolutely zero.
But, I mean, I would rather watch this than, like, they're coming out with an Exorcist TV show.
That's what we were saying. A lot of it is based on
Which
movies.
Which is funny, because,
like,
yeah.
I would say, like, if you go 10 years ago, a lot of, like, in the past 10 years, a lot of old TV shows have been made into movies. And now it's going the other way.
See, what's interesting to me, though, about The Exorcist, I would say The Exorcist is, like, you see, like, Bates Motel. And Bates Motel...
Oh, that's... The first season was great, but then it fell off.
It kind of fell off or whatever. But you see that story, and, like, there hasn't been an origin story that's existed for that character or that family or anything like that. But you see something like this, and there's been a, like, an origin. They had The Exorcist the beginning. They had... You know, Exorcist all the way to the, like, to the worst part of the end or whatever. And then, like, how do you cover all of that and make it interesting if it wasn't that interesting at all originally?
No, I think it's going to be, like, the same way Minority Report went for them, where they thought they could do this cool TV show and...
It'll bomb really
quickly.
It'll
bomb just because, like, what was fascinating about the movie and, like, what you can wrap up in a movie like Minority Report, you can't do as a series.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple others, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That's coming out, and that's like a,
I think that'll be good.
Mini-series, I think.
No, it's just like a live, televised musical like they've done, like, with They did it
with Grease.
Yeah.
Grease.
The one cool thing is I saw that Frankenfurter is played by the first transgender.
Yeah, Laverne Cox.
Yeah, and Laverne Cox.
I think it's going to be great.
That's really rad. And then
Taken, they're also doing a TV show.
Taken, the TV show.
Yeah.
So somebody gets taken every episode, or is it one
so
series?
The guy playing Liam Neeson's character is going to be him like before he was retired. So it's going to be like about his character learning all the steel. Like their tagline is like him learning the steels that made him so dangerous.
So do they simulate like people so getting
I think
taken?
He's
so
be,
he
like,
learns
put
every
on missions.
Steel?
Like you're just going to see him put like he's just an agent for whatever like CIA type of outfit he was working for.
Right. That like got him to.
Yeah.
Him getting having a particular set of skills, you know.
So it's
learning
a young,
those
yeah,
particular set of
which,
skills.
It's tough because the reason why people love that movie is because Liam Neeson is so badass as who he is. So if you don't connect with the main character, I don't think it's going to do well.
Oh like, my goodness, I didn't. Sorry,
it's just a run of a mill like agent show.
Yeah,
MacGyver.
Oh yeah, they're bringing back MacGyver.
MacGyver's
and,
coming
and
back.
And a Star Trek show.
Okay, so who is MacGyver being
CBS
played by?
And some, I think he's from X-Men Apocalypse. He's the guy that plays Havoc.
No way. And we'll talk about that later, too, because we got that on the bull slip, too.
Yeah.
To talk about X-Men Apocalypse. But MacGyver, it's being played by Havoc? The guy that sent the like the spiral thing through his stomach?
Short round on it.
Also, Training Day.
Training Day. Jeez, they are bringing back every single... Man. Okay.
Oh, another one, Frequency, if you've seen that movie.
Oh, yeah, Frequency, dude.
Is that with the dad and the son and the radio signal?
Yeah.
Jim Caviezel? And Dennis Quaid?
Yep.
Yeah, I believe,
So I saw the trailer for this one, too, like the five-minute, like, basically I watched the pilot. And it's got one of the CW's, like, she's been in a few different series that haven't gone very far, and she's been, like, supporting cast on other roles. But, like, she plays a detective. She talks to her dad, who was murdered, like, back in the day, and who was also a cop. And she ends up, it looks like she saves him because she has this connection, and it messes up her future.
And this is Frequency, or
it's
what?
Frequency. So like,
using so it's
the
a,
radio,
it's a
like,
daughter,
yeah,
father. It's a father daughter pair.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it looks like that's what they're going to go into is that like it all revolves around this one serial killer case, and because like she gets help on it from her dad and saves her dad, it messes up everything else. Like she's no one. She doesn't know her fiance. Her mom died or went missing, and all this
Whoa.
Kind of stuff.
Oh, God.
That's the
super
the twist.
Cool.
Oh, jeez.
I think, yeah, this is just embarrassing at this point.
So how many of them last?
None.
Beyond a season? None?
I think Lethal Weapon will.
Okay.
I do think Lethal Weapon will, because I think they're going to pair it with, like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and you're going to have a night of, like, campy detective shows. Like,
but does it seem, is it that type of comedy? Is it like, sitcom?
It's not sitcom-ish, but I feel like it'll do well with Fox's lineup, because, like I said, it looked well-written. I don't know what, what influence it has from the original like producers and writers from Lethal Weapon, but it looked a lot more well done than I thought it was going to be.
Hmm.
It's definitely the best preview I've seen so far of the Fault TV lineup.
Yeah, I'm not sold on any of these new shows that are coming out. None of them look good.
Yeah.
What about the original sitcoms, if you can call them original?
Like what?
They are doing... Matt LeBlanc is in like...
Joey?
No, I forget what his is. But
bringing
so
Joey back?
Matt LeBlanc is in a sitcom where he's going to be a stay-at-home dad now, and he's got to take care of the kids.
Okay.
So, oh. Yeah.
Ooh. But now Matt LeBlanc has just become an old Italian guy, by the way. Like, it's kind of funny, but...
You know, he had a good show on, what is it, HBO? Or Showtime.
Oh, yeah.
He had a really good show on that. Yeah. I actually thought that was funny, because that was like the fourth layer was peeled back, and you actually got to see, like, a different side of Matt LeBlanc, which was... Was cool, but I don't know. Put him into a syndicated, like, yeah.
Kevin James is going to be in Kevin on His Own or something like that.
Nope.
And it's basically King of Queens 2.
Nope.
Yeah, King of Queens 2.0 after the divorce.
Yeah. Oh, the guy that played what's his face? The guy from Cheers,
Ted Danson.
Ted Danson is in a movie or in a sitcom with Kristen Bell, and he's supposed to be like. It's supposed to be about heaven, and he's like the administrator, and he like welcomes Kristen Bell to heaven, and like you're at the good place. They call it. That's what the name of the sitcom is.
Does he fix her lazy eye first?
No, but so she's there apparently, and it's this take on heaven, but she's apparently mistakenly there. Like, they think she's someone that she's not.
Oh, snap.
So it's all
they don't
about,
recognize.
They revoke that heaven card?
No, it's all about her trying not to get her heaven card revoked.
Oh.
And how she doesn't fit in because she's not a nice person.
Oh, snap.
You look like the girl from Veronica Mars. We're taking that heaven card right now. So the fall TV season doesn't sound too impressive.
No, it definitely doesn't.
No. Do we have anything like HBO or anything related that's coming out fall that's big up?
I don't think anything.
Because HBO seems to blow its load pretty early.
Yeah, exactly.
We got Game of Thrones right now, Silicon Valley, which are all pretty good, I would say. Pretty impressed with that. Game of Thrones, kind of bouncing back and forth on that one. But Silicon Valley's kind of held me in.
I'll tell you one move that I thought was super interesting. So Supergirl has been on CBS this past season.
Oh, yeah. They're moving networks,
and it's,
right?
It's not good. It's kind of done by the same guys that do the Arrow and Flash and Legend of Tomorrow shows on CW already. But it's still CBS producing. So, like, the things that make those shows good on the CW is because they're written for the comic book like generation. They're written for, you know, people who know more stuff about the comics. Well, Supergirl is all, like, CBS'd up because the people that watch CBS are all like older than 50. So they aren't canceling it. They're just giving it to CW, and they're letting the guys that write the three shows already and produce those to have full command. And now you're going to have four shows that will interact with each other. And they're supposed to have a huge event where they're going to have a crossover on all four shows next year.
Well, have they must talk about Superman in the show, right?
So how
they both live in Metropolis?
They do. They've referenced him, and like Dean Cain played like his shadow, which I think was funny. Because like they have him like flying down, and so like you can't see his face because, you know, no way Warner Brothers will let you show Superman on TV.
I think this is just an admission of the writers that they don't have shit to go with. I think that is at the end of the day what they're admitting is like remember when we were growing up and we watched TV. Everything ended. If there was a handoff to a season or whatever, even the shittiest series we ever saw, 90210 to Melrose Place, it ended and then it began with another series or whatever. When you have series that are continually nodding and incorporating everything that's happening under the network together, I think that's an admission of the writers that they're going, hey, man, we don't really know where to go with this. And we're just trying to lean on anything that's actually running well this week. So you can out of four series, you can have one episode that goes well in a week, and people kind of go, well, hey, hopefully that guy pops up into this because I actually like that guy in this week. And, you know, if the flavor of the week is going into this, they're smart enough to know that we can dabble the flavor of the week into the other series. Because, honestly, I haven't watched any of these CW series.
Well, they're great. Flash is done fantastically well, and that's like their best show that I think they've ever had, actually,
to a point where there is creative writing to an end.
Yeah, because the showrunner for Flash is one of the guys that was writing the comic books,
and there's no need to incorporate any other character to an end of this.
They make it like an event, like they have fun because they want to acknowledge that, like, hey, we're not ignoring the fact that like these things are also happening. And so, like, it's very small, and it's not a big deal like they do in the movies.
You say it's comparable to how the Netflix shows acknowledge the other?
Yes, it's characters? Very much like how Marvel's going to do their Netflix shows.
Really?
Yeah, it's definitely just like that. And the thing is, like,
because from what I've heard from the Netflix shows, they're not very heavily relied upon.
Yeah,
they dabble in that stuff, but it's not. Hey, this week we're going to tease this character that pops up in this show. And I know that they don't have really the juice to do that on a subscription-based streaming service or anything like that. But at the same time, like, I can't tell you how many times, as a Hulu Plus subscriber, Hulu, please give us money. No, we see like just teases for, and guess who's going to pop up in this episode of this week? It's a series. It's somebody from this CW
the only
series.
Time
and it's
that
just
did,
like,
the only time that happened was when The Flash was on Supergirl, because it was a big deal of a CW character.
Was Supergirl kind of dying off, and
yes.
was it not
and
that popular?
And that was like a, hey, let's see if this dynamic works out. Let's see. Like,
convenient.
And they did it, and that's the best rated, other than their premiere, that was the best rated Supergirl show. So if there's any show that does that, it is the Supergirl show, because the people at CBS didn't know how to do it.
Okay.
But how it works is like they do it once, and it's always like their mid-season finales, and they're like, hey, here's something for you guys right before the break. Here's like storylines that intercross, and you get like a crossover, cool, and that's it.
My strong impression too is I guarantee you the writers don't have a lot of control over that.
Yeah, the producers definitely will. Like,
exactly, it's the studio head saying, "Hey, by the way, you have to make sure you're writing in this storyline because we're all going to have a meetup in." You know,
I would compare it to like back in the day on Saturday morning cartoons where they had Spider-Man and the X-Men, and then sometimes Spider-Man would be on the X-Men or Wolverine was on Spider-Man. That's exactly how it is. It's like one episode here or there, and that's it. They've acknowledged that they existed. They'll make funny jokes referencing people, like in certain like throwaways, but that's it.
It's just mind-blowing to me that they have that much money behind them now that they can dabble with just experimental characters in a television series where, like, you saw this like 20 years ago, or even like comic books have always done that. Mm-hmm. And it was cheap to do that because you're literally penning somebody and you're putting them in. It costs nothing to pen in a new character, experiment with it, see how it works or whatever. Compare it to television and what they're doing now. Every episode costs so much money to do. And the fact that they have that much money to experiment with these people and then go, that didn't work. Yeah. Toss it out. Work with something else.
Yeah, I mean, like,
that is crazy.
If you look at the NBC show Constantine, that didn't do well. One, because they put it on a Friday night at 9 p.m., which you're never going to be successful.
The slot will kill you.
Wasn't in it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The time slot will kill you. Friday night.
Location.
But people loved the show, and they tried to get it back, and then people loved the guy that played Constantine so much that on an episode of Arrow this past season, they brought Constantine in. Like, his actual character, same actor from the NBC show, because the guys that are writing for the CW are the only guys that know actually to handle comic books because they're from DC and they do it well. And so I think it's cool that they at least have showrunners over there that kind of have the freedom to play with pieces from other networks and unsuccessful programs because they have a formula that works and they have their casting's impeccable. It's great.
Yeah. It's just, it is insane to me that like you see that product just into a television product now and they can dabble with experimental characters all the time and just spend so much money.
I'd rather watch that than, you know, MacGyver.
Yeah, well, true. But I mean the cost of it to picking up a 50-cent comic and what you're hiring for one artist and one, you know, pen.
Hey, I will say though, I am looking forward to the fall because there's no American Idol and there's no CSI.
Boom.
There you go.
Killing
That's
two.
The first time in like 16 years that we can say that for both things.
And we'll end it on this. We'll end this episode on this. What is one episode what is one series that you currently are watching right now that you want to see end that wasn't announced on this?
Oh, like one thing you want to see?
Yeah, that just wasn't on this like termination spree that happened because a lot of shit got cut.
Well, for me, it would be two shows. Two of my,
I'm going to say two shows as well.
Yeah, two of my girlfriend's favorites, which I think is some of the worst garbage on TV. It is Dance Moms and RuPaul's
Drag Race.
Drag Race, yes.
Okay. Ooh, okay.
Those two programs.
Two Broke Girls.
Nice.
And The Big Bang Theory.
Ooh, yeah.
They need to go.
Aren't those like the two top-rated comedies out right now?
They're terrible. And they insult comedy everywhere.
Yeah, I don't watch them. So,
me personally, I'd love to see the CSI train just start.
No,
continue to happen.
No,
but I mean, like
no
CSI Miami. Oh, they're all.
That's
done.
What I mean. Like, there's no CSI Miami. There's no CSI New York. There's
oh,
no
they
CSI
cut them all.
Cyber.
Yeah.
Oh,
for the first time
well,
since
I think
2000, if Cyber was the last one.
Right.
And they cut that. So
well, can
no
I revoke
CSI.
It back now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
What else?
SVU.
Yeah.
Whoa, SVU is great.
Like still.
Really?
Yeah,
that's not the one I want to cut.
Old SIT. Okay.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? It's still on TV.
Oh, that's like daytime.
Really? Yeah, huh. It's on TV. Yeah. I still want it. Yeah. To this day, I don't know how it
exists. Is Terry Crews hosting it now?
Dude, somebody's hosting
Terry
it. I don't
Crews?
Know who's hosting it.
I swear to God.
It's probably my neighbor.
Like,
I mean, it's probably my neighbor.
It's Gary from The Mind Life.
There we
He's
are.
Hosting,
yeah, somebody's hosting it these days. Yeah.
Speaking of past guests, real quick shout out to some newlyweds.
Yeah. I just went to a wedding, 2 days ago? And Alec and Kayla, congratulations. The new Oliveris. You guys are awesome. Hey, we had Alec on the show, back in January with Truxton Mile?
January with Truxton Mile.
Yeah, so Alec's the lead guitarist for Truxton Mile. If you don't know them, check them out. They are awesome. They were at the wedding, performed a song. It was awesome. But shout out to you, Alec and Kayla. That was an amazing wedding. Had a great time. It was awesome. Great people and everything like that. And thank God. Hey, we were talking about this earlier. No babies. Hey, it's amazing how much fun a wedding is.
Oh,
with no babies.
Yeah.
I was so like, confused what that was talking about.
Oh, sorry.
So yes, weddings without kids. Yes. That's smart.
Agreed. They're very, very awesome.
Find a babysitter.
Yep.
Right. It's one day.
But yes, our craft research team just showed us that the host of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is none other than
Terry Crews.
No shit.
Yep.
He doesn't even know the answers.
Do you think Meredith Vieira knew the answers?
I mean, I've grown up with Alex
Philbin.
Yeah.
I've grown up with Alex Trebek. Alex Trebek really sells those answers like he knows them every time.
Because
he schools them on contextual knowledge after it happens.
Well, if you want to hear more hot takes on daytime game shows, make sure to follow Brett at Niece's Pieces on Twitter or Brian at BOwensits19. I'm at Dan_Perez_, or you can follow our general account at Pop_NotSoda. New episodes every Monday on iTunes and at popnotsoda.podbean.com. Make sure you hit that like and subscribe button and follow us on Facebook as well for current updates and promos. I have been Dan. Thank you, Brett and Brian, on this wonderful Sunday. We will see you next week with a brand new sit pack of pop culture.
Bye-bye.
Boom.